Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I'm your Rockies Insider inside of Coors Field, Patrick Lyons at Patrick D. Lyons on most social media platforms, and the Rockies Insider on YouTube, talking about what a wild finish Sunday's game was for the Rockies to pull one out with one of the best hitters, most underrated hitters in the game, and Ketel Marte at the plate with first base open, no less. Interesting decision made by manager Warren Schaefer, but it pays off. The Rockies take 3 of 4 from the Arizona Diamondbacks. And since that 8-game losing streak, Colorado is 5-1. Pretty wild. St. Dinger in the chat, 3 in a row. I'm going streaking. So Colorado getting hot at just the right time as they are about to welcome in the Los Angeles Dodgers. Should I say first place? Los Angeles Dodgers, because they did have a matchup against those San Diego Padres in LA. Dodgers won the first two games in that series, and they end up winning again on Sunday, 5-4 in a very tight ball game, 3-game sweep for the Dodgers. So they are even more red hot than just 3 wins against the Arizona Diamondbacks. But you take what you can get, and with that win, Rockies now on a 116 loss pace, and really probably better than that when you look at what Warren Schaefer has been able to do since he has taken over as manager of this club. So it does not look like it's going to be 122 or even 121 losses to tie the 121 loss Chicago White Sox from last season. There's a lot to get to, but we should probably start where the game ended with that final out. I don't know that I've ever seen a wilder out number 27 in a game. I'm sure there are plenty of them that were really good that could give this a run for the money. And certainly there was nothing on the line in this game today on that field behind me if you're watching live over on YouTube. But it was a play where you were already sitting on the edge of your seat because you had Arizona coming back. You also had Victor Vodnik unavailable for this game. That was something that was asked of Warren Schaefer before Sunday's contest that he had pitched the last two games. So Juan Mejia was the guy to get the ball, a rookie in his first season who had yet to come in for a save opportunity. He gets the first out right away of Lourdes Gurriel, then back-to-back singles from Jake McCarthy and Tyler Locklear, then another single from Alec Thomas, third base coach. Not too aggressive there. I know there's been some issues with him this season for the Diamondbacks. So you get the bases loaded, sacrifice fly from James McCann, and with two outs and first base open, because it was a deep fly ball by McCann that advanced all three runners. We're down to a one-run ball game, and Ketel Marte steps up to the plate. He was a late entry in this game for Connor Kizer. Geraldo Perdomo on deck. He had already reached base 4 of his 5 at-bats. Once was through a fielder's choice. But I said it in the last Rockies Insider podcast, if you've been listening, Geraldo Perdomo is not the most underrated player. He is the player that no one is talking about that everybody should be talking about. Ketel Marte is just the most underrated player. But you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. And Warren Schaefer had a great response to this, was that if you put Marte on first base, you have zero wiggle room. You have no opportunity to do absolutely anything with Geraldo Perdomo except pitch to him, and hopefully you can get him out, which is a tough assignment. But with first base open, we saw this earlier with, I believe it was when Geraldo Perdomo came up in the 5th inning, where Senzatella threw him 2 pitches. They were both balls, and ultimately they decided to put Perdomo on first base to put runners on first and second so there would be a force out. So the idea is you have 2 pitches that maybe you can get the hitter to expand the zone and come away with a 1-1 count. And now all of a sudden that changes the mathematics of it. And now you can go at this hitter. Well, after a first pitch ball, Ketel Marte chased one that was not a strike. It was high up in the zone. And now it's 1-1. And on the 1-1 offering, Juan Mejia gets a pop-up in a weird space between first and second base, and Juan Mejia comes bounding off the mound to try to make the play, jumps up, catches it, and as he's immediately coming down from squeezing that baseball, Warming Bernabéu just cross-checks him, knocks him down, flat on his back, he's laying out for what felt like an eternity. And we weren't sure if we were going to get a reaction about him not being okay or that he caught the ball. I, from my perspective in the press box, did not think he caught it. Did not think he had caught the ball because a glove went flying. I thought that was Mejia's. No, it was actually warming Bernabéu's first baseman's mitt. Mejia had his mitt on, had the ball in his mitt, caught his breath. He said post-game that he was really just trying to make Bernabéu feel bad. So he caught his breath down there, got up. They celebrated, and Rockies take three in a row from the Arizona Diamondbacks in an absolutely wild, wild finish. That was great. Jeff in the chat, thanks for joining. Final out was insane. Put it into Rockies lore. Yeah, I don't know where this one is going to end up. I know in talking with Juan Mejia, you know, there's moments in which you can listen to a player give their answer to a question, but then you can also step back a little bit and think, you know, how important is this moment going to be? Certainly for Juan Mejia, it's incredibly important. It's his first big league save. He said he is going to give that baseball to his mother and father without them, he wouldn't be here today in more ways than one, just everything that they put into him as a human being, but also as a ball player to put him on this stage. So that baseball is going home to the family, which you love to hear that. You love to see that. So that in and of itself is tremendous. But looking forward, is this the start of a guy where in 7 years from now, everybody knows Juan Mejia as a late inning reliever or closer, whether it's for the Rockies or another team? Is this the start of something? Or is this just a moment for a ball player? We don't know. That is the beauty of baseball, is the human element in all of it. So it was great talking with him post game with Edwin, who does a great job translating as part of the Rockies communications team. And I asked him if that was the most athletic play he had ever made, and basically said, yeah, you know, when he jumped up, or when he leapt off the mound to run towards the baseball to make that catch, he said, God, please give me wings because I need to make a catch. And he made that catch. And that was just absolutely incredible. I don't know what more to say about that. Great play for the Rockies, who cap off another come-from-behind win. You know, Antonio Sensatella came off the IL in this start, you know, didn't make any rehab appearances at all. So just kind of did the live BP thing, went out, and he was really good. He was really good in this performance, went five innings, did not allow a run. There was some traffic, but in five innings, you only allow six base runners for Antonio Sensatella. That's pretty good. Four hits, all singles, walked one, hit a batter, struck out two. So did well in his 61 pitches. 75 was the magic number, according to Warren Schaefer, where they were looking for him to be at no more than. And so with two lefties and a right-handed hitter coming up in the sixth, it seemed like that was a good opportunity to go to the bullpen. And it may have been, but it did not work out so well, as Luis Peralta, who was one of two players to get activated before today's game, did not look very good. He gave up a base hit to all three hitters. In fact, gave up a home run to Corbin Carroll, and then immediately a home run to Lourdes Gurriel. And just like that, Antonio Sensatella, who was in line for the win, was now up for the no decision, gave up a hit to Jake McCarthy. And that was the end for him. Dugan Darnell did his thing for an inning. Anthony Molina, Jimmy Herget, and then Juan Mejia did allow one in the ninth, but they go ahead and get the win. As I said, Sensatella activated, Peralta called up, and Schaefer said, Peralta and really all of their relievers need to be ready to go multiple innings with where the rotation is at and where the bullpen's at right now. Peralta not able to record now, get an inning or even get multiple innings in that game. Bradley Blaylock and Ryan Rollison, who got his first big league win on Saturday, immediately sent down. Schaefer in the post game was great. If you're not watching on Rockies Baseball Network, discuss the matchup, as I said, with Marte and Perdomo, how it was pretty much an even matchup, but you get some wiggle room if you do pitch to Marte, see if you can get him to expand in the zone. Called Mejia a player that was built to be a closer, as a guy that could withstand something like that. Sensatella giving him five zeros, which he absolutely did, and how Colorado continues to come back and to chip away at leads. that this is a team where they don't quit. They continue to battle, and it's a roster that is fighting for each other. And it's not to say that they weren't doing that in the beginning parts of the season, but it was hard to do that because it really just felt like any movement they made, they were getting deeper into the quicksand. They're not in quicksand anymore. You know, they're not in a good spot right now. They're in the gutter, whatever you might want to say as a franchise, as an organization. But right now, the players themselves don't really feel like they are in quicksand or they're in the gutter. They're there trying to establish themselves, trying to make a name for themselves, trying to win ball games because every day they have that opportunity. And that's what they have an opportunity to do. And not, as Schaefer said when he first took over, wallow in a pit. And they're not going to wallow in a pit. So they're going to continue to fight back. Ryan Ritter came through in a big spot. Warming Bernabeu continues to put the ball in play. Mickey Moniak came up. He delivered the go-ahead when it was 5-4 with a 2-RBI single. He was 1-for-4 on the day. So the rally came in, everybody chipping in. You had back-to-back hit by pitches. Braxton Fulford and Hunter Goodman was a strange one. Ritter with the 2-RBI single. Then Mickey Moniak, the 2-RBI single after Tyler Freeman ended up grounding out. So Moniak continuing to play well. He's cooled down, it feels like, a little bit in August. But overall, this is a guy who leads the team with a .323 batting average with runners in scoring position. That's going to bump up. That was the number going into Sunday, a .646 slugging percentage with runners in scoring position. That is the third best in the National League, minimum of 75 plate appearances. It's wild to think that both Mickey Moniak and Tyler Freeman played zero games with the Rockies in spring training. Correct me if I'm wrong. At Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB on social media. I don't think either of those guys, maybe Tyler Freeman won, but not in Scottsdale. I think that game might have come in Florida. But both those guys picked up right before the start of the season, and they end up being the best pickups for this roster. So a wild, wild game. No, that's not my phone ringing. You probably can't hear that. This is the first time I'm able to do a show here at Coors Field where there isn't something going on at the field. Some post-game event. While the innocent late-inning Coors Field runs are my favorite, Rockies did it on Saturday. They were down by 5 runs in a wild 10-7 win. So, you know, the silver lining is you win. You don't really need to have a silver lining when you win 3 games in a row. But, you know, when you look at the fact that, you know, Peralta couldn't get his job done, that the offense was shut down by Nabil Crismat for the Diamondbacks, who was making his season debut in the majors, who was making only a second career start since debuting with the Cardinals back in 2020. That was a start back in 2022, 3 innings with San Diego against the Diamondbacks, coincidentally. So Crismat, 5 innings pitched, 3 hits, 1 walk, 1 run, 5 strikeouts. You didn't have Goodman or Karros in the starting lineup, but as I mentioned earlier, Goody was called upon with 2 runners on base. He ends up getting plunked. Karros comes in to pinch run for him, stays in the game at third base. But Saturday, 10-7 win, their 4th 5-run comeback win of the season. They scored 2 in the 7th, 6 in the 8th. Their 4th comeback win after trailing by 5-plus runs are the most in the majors. Also, what did they have in common with one of the best teams in the American League, the Detroit Tigers? Well, the 8th inning in which they scored those 6 runs on Saturday night. It's the 4th time this season the Rockies have scored 6 or more in the 7th inning or later, tied with Detroit for the most such occurrences. Tyler Freeman was huge. He delivered the big blow with his 3-RBI game, that home run that was a no-doubter. It's only his second career, only a second home run this season, first career homer with the Rockies at Coors Field, but it was a no-doubter halfway up the bleachers. Little bat flip with his player's weekend bat, acknowledgement to his teammates. That was big for him. Matched a career high in 3-RBI. Brenton Doyle was key in that game. He went 2-for-4 with a double, 2-RBI, stole a base on Sunday. He has been really good in the month of August, batting .383 with 11 RBI. That leads the team in ribbies this month. And since the All-Star break, just under 400 batting average. He has been really good as of late. You're seeing him do it defensively, and you're starting to see that Brenton Doyle we saw all of last year and the Brenton Doyle we were expecting in 2025. I feel like 2026, Brent Doyle can get himself back on track. Will he be a Ryan McMahon where you get the same kind of production each and every year without that extra step forward you think is in the tank? If that happens, that's okay. You still want guys like that. You still need guys like that in a major way, especially the Colorado Rockies. Of course, what the Rockies need more are players like Doyle, Tovar, to take the next step forward, to become a superstar, to become a perennial all-star. But you'll take that right now from Brenton Doyle as he rebounds in the second half and is one of those key guys that seems like he's always in the middle of these comebacks. Like Felix says, the comeback boys. That's right. The comeback kids, the cardiac kids, you name it. That certainly was fun. Chase Dolander on Saturday wasn't able to finish the fifth inning. 4 2/3, allowed 5 runs, 4 of which were earned. But since coming back from AAA, 9 2/3 innings pitched over 2 starts, 5 earned runs. You like that he did not allow a home run. And if you include his final start on July 6th before he got demoted, we're looking at 3 consecutive starts without allowing a homer. He had a different 3-game start stretch without a home run. So we'll see if he can keep that stretch going against the Dodgers on Thursday. Some serious thoughts about attendance. Not great. Turnout wasn't great. I know on Saturday, I forget what that number was, maybe around 25, but you had the Broncos at Mile High against the other team from Arizona, Lainey Wilson at Ball Arena. And if you want to avoid chaos like that on a Saturday night in Denver, you're probably going to stay away from the ballpark. Going into Sunday, Rockies were down a little over 2,000 per game through the first 61 games of last year. You can compare the two, Rockies down 2,000. So we're starting to see, it seemed like through the first half of the summer, attendance wasn't really changing much. It has dipped slowly, you know, every year since really 2021, since 2022. But we weren't seeing that on a per game basis. Now, with the Rockies so far out of it, football season starting up, kids are back in school. I know Dodgers are coming to town. I know we got one more series with the Cubs, which will be on Labor Day weekend. That kind of chaos that can come with Labor Day travel, I think that could keep some people away. Will they get 40,000? Sure, absolutely. But you know, they got those kind of crowds late last year as well for certain marquee matchups. So it'll be interesting to see if that number ends up sticking around 2,000. Maybe it ends up being 1,000. Don't know. You probably saw from some of the broadcasts, some of the players' weekend swag that players had. Let me know what your favorite was, either for the Rockies or all around MLB, some of your favorite things that you saw from players. The pencil bats were obviously very popular. For Colorado, you had a Brenton Doyle. He had a couple bats made up. One had his wife's name, Shelby Rose, on the back. There were some nicknames that I wasn't aware of, or I wasn't aware of the origins. Bradley Blaylock, apparently his new nickname is Boss Baby. Austin Nola gave him that. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Dugan Darnell, one of the things he does to help support his community, he supported Sam Hilliard's Team Hilliard Foundation and Brenton Doyle's golf tournament that he holds for St. Jude's. Yankiel Fernandez, I didn't realize he goes by El Tren, which is just train in Spanish, because of the way he just keeps going and going and racking up RBIs when he was in the minor leagues. His teammates gave him that nickname. Tyler Freeman, T-Free, not to be confused with just Free. You might call him K-Free, but here he's in for the Rockies, I guess he's just going by Free. He's the original Free. But T-Free Tyler Freeman had some cleats with his dogs on it, had the ice cream cone inspired bat, which was the one that he hit that big eighth inning home run on Saturday. There was also some cool bats from Hunter Goodman, you know, that was inspired by, you know, Memphis, the jazz and blues scene that's down there. His nickname that he's going by these days is Gugu, because he's Uncle Goody and his niece couldn't say his name, so he went by Gugu.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
Apparently, Kyle Karras' fam calls him Gary. His middle name is Garrett. So they call him Gary, which was interesting to see. And then Ezekiel Tovar was not aware that he is starting his own foundation called the Bases Loaded Foundation. That's going to work with the Boys and Girls Club in the Denver metro area. So keep your eyes peeled for that. I did talk with Tovar before the game about the Little League World Series. And if he had participated in that when he was young, and he said that, yes, his team apparently had won in Venezuela, and he went to Puerto Rico to play as part of the tournament, but they did not get to Williamsport. He said that is certainly something he would love to do one day, is take part in a Little League Classic. Brenton Doyle also admitted that when he was a kid, yeah, he was on some of those all-star teams, but he was like the number nine hitter, believe it or not. Big old, he was a scrappy, quick, you know, steal a base kind of guy, and now you look at him and he's, you know, he's an action figure. He might not be, he's close to Connor Joe. Connor Joe's an action figure. But I think Brenton Doyle is action figure 2.0 on this current Rockies team. So he was a scrappy guy growing up. So he enjoys the Little League World Series as well. Let's talk about this Dodger series. Actually, I want to get to your chats because you guys said some comments. Gugu, yeah, wild. I guess that's his nickname. Also, his niece calls him Uncle Goody. I guess if you don't have the same last name as your niece, but wouldn't maybe his mom have the same maiden name? I don't know. I can't do the math on that. Jeff liked Ketel Marte's bat. Nice bat. Didn't end up getting the win. Question in the chat. If they have success with these bats and such, can they keep using it past this weekend? No, probably not. The cleats, though, I mean, guys do wear flashy cleats, so I don't see why you wouldn't still be able to wear those. You know, MLB has definitely gotten more lax, as they should. They've gotten more lax on the belts as well. I think Warming Bernabeu has like a collection of belts. He had some green ones that look like, you know, snake scales. So he's got some interesting ones coming up very soon. But this four-game set, we've got Dodgers, Rockies, both teams playing well coming into the series. Three-game winning streak for Colorado. Four games for the Dodgers. But Monday, we've got Kyle Freeland against Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Yoshi, fifth in the National League with a 2.84 ERA, 27th birthday he celebrated on Sunday. Tuesday, lefty Austin Gomber against righty Emmett Sheehan, 3.86 ERA. Don't sleep on Emmett Sheehan. And then Wednesday, get your ducks in a row. Go to bed early tonight. Finish watching this or listening to this. Go to bed on Monday and Tuesday night, nice and early, so you can head out to the ballpark on Wednesday, because Shohei Ohtani will be making his first ever regular season start at Coors Field. That's right. He never did it with the Angels. He's going to do it with the Dodgers. Tanner Gordon gets the assignment against Shohei Ohtani. He's 0-0 with a 3.47 ERA. I'm not sure he's been in the game long enough to get a decision. He's been in the game long enough to get a loss, but he just hasn't earned a win yet. Of course, some of you are saying right now, Patrick, don't forget about, I didn't forget. Ohtani famously started the 2021 All-Star Game here in Denver, was both the pitcher and the DH simultaneously. They changed the rules for him for the All-Star Game. Then they changed the rules for him in the regular season and postseason, and rightfully so. I'm okay with that. But he has never started at Coors Field in Denver, Angels or Dodgers. Yeah, he hasn't pitched for the Dodgers even before this season. He has pitched on the road in 20 against 20 different teams. This will be his first in Denver. And then Thursday, how about this matchup? I like this matchup. This is a cool one. This feel like it happened a lot more to Chase Dolander early on in the season. Then he got a break. Now he's back on, you know, the Cy Young Award winner, future Hall of Famer track. It's going to be 2-9 Chase Dolander and a 6.43 ERA against lefty Clayton Kershaw, who's 7-2 with a 3.01 ERA. If given your druthers, I imagine you'd probably want to go see Ohtani start against anybody. It's going to be Tanner Gordon on Wednesday. But maybe, certainly a close runner-up is going to be Dolander against Kershaw, right? Maybe. At Patrick D. Lyons, MLB, and the Rockies Insider over on YouTube. Appreciate you dropping by. Appreciate all of the wonderful momentum. But momentum, as I like to say, can only be as good as my next show. So, of course, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.